When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Gone! A three-run home run for Bellinger!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Our job is not to babysit somebody.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Just get him out. Doc deserves better. So does Embiid.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. Coming up, Purdue wide receiver David Bell. Senior NBA insider for The Athletic, Shams Charania. Creator and star of HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, it is time for hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Hey. What's up, everybody?
Salute.
Larry David's making his way to our studio. Larry David, in studio, hour number three. I can't wait. Curb Your Enthusiasm, latest season, coming up Sunday. Can't wait. I mean, this is going to be great, and we've got a great hour to take you to that great hour. Shams Charania of The Athletic and also Stadium will be joining us. His latest piece for The Athletic is what's happened in practice between Simmons and the Sixers and what are the Sixers' possible next steps.
Don't read it, TJ. It's not going to make you happy.
Well, Noel Shams is about to join us. We'll talk about it. Oh, and Sam Amick did not report on where Simmons got those sweatpants. Shams is from The Athletic. I'm going to kick over this hornet's nest within The Athletic.
I won't say 100%, but I'm about 45% sure I'm going to buy you some sweatpants.
Oh, I want these. I want to know
these
what these
exact
are.
Ones?
And then I want them. And I will broadcast in them because certainly on days where I'm. What's the Seinfeld phrase? It was like, if I'm angry, but at least I'll be comfortable. Is that what that was?
right.
I wonder if Larry David wrote that line.
It's possible.
I don't know. Or Jeff Schaefer with Larry David wrote that line. You know, I mean, so at any rate.
But we all watched The Last Dance. You saw Michael Jordan practicing in those sweatpants that he pulled up almost to his navel.
Like, yeah, but they weren't that comfortable. Those things look insanely.
I know, like literally, it looks like he's going to sit on the couch.
Oh my god!
Stick his hands down his pants and watch two things at once.
By the way, coming from
honestly,
a guy wearing shorts,
it looks like. I don't think I'm telling any tales. That is
coming from a guy wears shorts every day. People, sweatpants and shorts are comfortable. Why do you think I do?
Mike, okay. You find the sweatpants?
I'm looking for it.
Don't worry about it. The moment's passed. Mike, the moment's passed. Okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Close talker.
Don't worry.
Before we get to our Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth. Let me just tell you what's coming, all right? Because I like to talk about what's happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like to tell you what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like about this show and my ability to have this microphone and platform is I want to make you smarter. I want to make you be able to go to your friends, or if you do have a water cooler anymore and you are at work and you're back at work, that you're around there, you know what? I heard it with Eisen on the Eisen Show. I want to tell you what's coming. Baker Mayfield is out for Thursday night football. Here's what's coming down the pike. Case Keenum starting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Case Keenum is going to start against the Broncos.
QB1.
Now, Case Keenum, I believe, is going to perform well in this game.
Oh.
I believe that despite all the injuries, and I know that the Broncos are a good defensive team, and it's a short week, too. I believe Case Keenum will perform well in this game. Will they come out with the win? I mean, I can't predict these things. I know, Chris, you'd rather be in Las Vegas right now anyway. Certainly, you would take that information. If I had that prediction, if I had that knowledge, you'd say, what's going on? Case Keenum was hired to play in games like this for the Browns. Case Keenum was hired to play in and win games like this for the Cleveland Browns. He has a similar skill set in terms of stature, height, game to Baker Mayfield. That's what you want in your backup. You don't want to change the playbook on certainly on a short week so appreciably when your starter is hurt. So when Case Keenum looks good in this game, I'm going to predict that. When he looks good in this game, boy, I'm putting myself
out
there.
You are really putting yourself out there.
Here comes the, well, maybe Baker's not that good. Here it comes. Here it comes. Even if Keenum plays middling football and loses, well, Baker could have done that. Because the haters for Baker Mayfield are out there. And their knives and forks are out. And their napkin is tucked into their shirts, ready to feast on this meal. Because short of the Browns having a subpar season and Mayfield falling flat on his face, short of that, for all the Mayfield haters out there, that's their favorite. The dream scenario is him getting hurt and somebody else coming in and showing what it looks like without him. Oh, what a bonanza that is. Keenum is supposed to do well in this game. That's why he's there. And what he is also is not a starting quarterback for all 17 now regular season games, year in and year out. Is that a slight against him? Maybe it is to him and his family and his agent, but it's not from the perspective of backup quarterbacks in the NFL are supposed to give you a good 3-4 weeks, supposed to give you 4 to 6 weeks. That's why the Nick Foleses of the world don't grow on trees. You don't see all these stories. And that's why they're making a movie about Kurt Warner. Because these things don't happen, meaning backup quarterbacks become starting quarterbacks and go on runs for the ages and then careers, Hall of Fame careers for the ages. Doesn't happen. Keenum's supposed to do well in this game, folks. So when he does well, don't take the cheese that the Browns are better off without Baker Mayfield. That is what we call crap. That's called crap. I know I cape for this guy.
Yeah.
I like him. I like his abilities. I like his essence, his moxie. I would love for him to bring that championship to Cleveland. Doesn't look like they're on that championship run right now because everybody's so hurt. Will Keenum have Odell and Jarvis? Definitely won't have Chubb and won't have Hunt. Won't have that offensive line healthy either. The cards are stacked against him, which means when he does well, Baker didn't do this against the Arizona Cardinals.
It'll make it coming. It'll make it worse, too, if like
it's coming.
Keenum hits Odell for a 40-yard touchdown.
Yeah, this is the way it's supposed to look,
yeah,
Baker.
Yeah.
As if separating his shoulder in week two had nothing to do with whatever the heck we saw subsequently, in which he puts up 42 against the Chargers in Los Angeles.
Are we going to start Odell in fantasy this week?
I think we have no choice because there's so many bye weeks, but just front loading it. When the Baker hate comes Thursday night, it's going to come on Twitter. Come fast. It'll come fast in the palm of your hand, and then it'll come fast in your ears in the podcast world
and then the radio world. We'll see it
and
at 9 o'clock Eastern
on Thursday. Coming. It's coming. It's coming. Because, you know, the lack of healthy weapons will count against Keenum, but he knows the system. He's ready to go. He took the Vikings all the way through to an NFC championship game. Who was coordinating the offense in Minnesota, their current head coach? He knows the quarterback. The quarterback knows the coach, knows the system. That's why he's hired to excel in a game like this one, not take over for Baker Mayfield. Cut the crap in advance. Now then.
CTC, cut the crap.
Cut the crap. It's weird, too. It's all going to originate from Manhattan Beach. I don't get it.
That'd be odd. So, we love giving out our Gorilla Glue Toughest Player on Planet Earth NIL Award every week because we find somebody who's not expecting it because their story is terrific. However, they don't have a spotlight cast on them and nobody's knocking on their door for their name, image, and likeness. And when they ball out, well, that means you get a call from us. And this week, David Bell gets a call from us. Wide receiver of Purdue University, 11 catches, 240 yards, and a touch in Purdue going to Iowa. And this is how impressive their win was, 24-7. It even had a touchdown taken off the board because the ball was fumbled through the end zone. Yeah, the dreaded awfulness that normally takes another team out. Purdue is not to be denied. 240 receiving yards, second highest single game total in the history of Boilermaker football. And he's got the 100-yard mark in receiving yards 14 of the 23 times he has suited up for this institution of higher learning, for which he was an academic All-Big Ten student-athlete last year. So, that was a shocker last week. Right. Is our winner on the phone line right now, Chris?
You know it.
From Purdue. Now in the top 25 for the first time since 2007, because they handed number two Iowa its first loss of the season, fresh off of 240 yards receiving in Iowa, is Purdue wideout David Bell, this week's winner of the Gorilla Glue.
Yes,
toughest player.
Yes.
Of Bell. How are you, David?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
You know what? We feel like we're better just being around you on the phone, yes, David. Yes. That's the way we feel right now. You know?
Thank you.
Most welcome. What? Did you wake up and have like an extra bowl of cereal that day on Saturday? What happened on Saturday for you that clicked?
I really just think Saturday morning the air was real fresh. I was texting my friends and my family, and I told them that today was going to be special, and I just went out and performed.
And so how does it feel? Like, what? So you woke up and you just texted everybody, I think today's going to be a great day. You just woke up and smelled the fresh air in Iowa? Seriously? That's the way it works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what happened.
Okay. And then, and at what point did you realize, okay, this day is in fact special? When did that hit you? For you?
Not until the end of the game. I didn't know personally what I did, but as a team, I've seen what we did. We just came on the road to beat the number two team in the country, and it was just a great experience, not only for me, but just for the whole entire team.
So what do you mean? You didn't know you had 200-yard receiving game? That didn't click?
No, I did not. Not until my mother came down from the stands and told me that I did.
So, your mom was your stats and information mom, the SIM? So really? Like she, you had no idea that you had 240, 11 catches, 240, and a touch. You obviously knew the touchdown, but you didn't no idea about that.
Huh. Yeah, I knew I had a touchdown, but I figured I had about 10 catches, but I did not know about 204 yards. But, yeah, my mother, she's been keeping my stats since high school. She has a pen and paper and, usually does the calculating for herself.
So this was – did she drive there? Because I assume she still lives in the state of Indiana, your family, David?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had my mother, my girlfriend, and then my stepfather came also. They drove the whole 5 hours to Iowa City.
That's so cool. So your mom sits in the stands and takes your stats still, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. I told her, ESPN to handle it, but she still wants to do it.
You told your mom there's an app for that, David Bell? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I told her. But, I guess she's superstitious.
I love that. Yeah. You can't tell. Moms know best. They know best. Anyway. But she must have needed an extra sheet of paper for you, David.
I think so.
What was it like in the locker room after the game with you and your mates on that day, Saturday?
See, the crazy thing is I couldn't even get into the locker room because I was looking for my mother. They had her high up in the stands, so it took her a little bit to get down. So I was looking for her for about 15 to 20 minutes, and I didn't get a chance to go into the locker room until after all the celebration. But when I got in there, they were still celebrating. Very excited, very happy, just loveful teammates.
And, we did notice your tweet that you put up there on your Twitter feed, David Bell, that at DB3LL, want to give you a shout-out here for everyone who wants to follow. What we did today is why I came to Purdue. We're always capable of greatness. Why did you go to Purdue from Indianapolis, Indiana, where you had a terrific prep star career, David?
So the number one reason was my grandmother. Most people know that she's handicapped, and to her to be able to come to all the home games if she can as possible. But another reason was just to change the narrative as Purdue. Before I committed, it was just a lot of negative narratives, and when they beat Ohio State, I seen something special in that, and that kind of would push me to come to Purdue, and I knew that I would want to be in that situation that could change the program around also.
So do you have chats with Rondale Moore on occasion, David?
Yeah, we definitely still keep in contact. You know, he gives me tips and pointers throughout the week just to see little things I need to watch out for on Saturday.
So it was, I guess, his performance and everyone else's Purdue against Ohio State that caused you to get into that mix. And now you could see he's balling out in Arizona for the Cardinals. That's your goal, David Bell, as well?
Yeah. My goal is definitely to get into the NFL. You know, I've been having a dream of that since I was about 7 years old. So it's something I think about every night.
So what do you, before I get into the fruits of your labor with this NIL deal, what do you feel your role is on this team to bring everyone together? What do you feel?
I just feel like just being a leader. You know, I'm not really much of a vocal guy, but when I need to be vocal, I'll be vocal. And I think on Saturday, that's what kind of gave the guys energy, because a lot of the players don't really see me as a vocal guy. They see me as a person who leads by example. And for me to come out there, being able to talk to the guys, get everyone riled up, I think that maybe gave a little sign of belief that we can get it done on Saturday.
And also seems like you're a glue guy for your family. Your mom's keeping stats in the stands. You don't want to get in the locker room until you see her. You go to Purdue because your grandmother is handicapped and you want to make it easier for her to see your games. Would that be an apt description, that you're a glue guy for the Bell family, David?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, I'm definitely a family guy because, you know, that's all I had when I grew up. It was just us in a little house on the far east side of Indianapolis. So that's what I do it for. I do it for my family.
Well, this is great. We're giving you an NIL deal with Gorilla Glue because of who you are, what you stand for, your name, image, and likeness, and certainly what you did put your stamp on things against Purdue. $1,000 check from Gorilla Glue and free glue. A little product for you, David. Coming your way.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
What are you going to do? You need fixing around the house? Anything around your spot, your apartment? Anything that needs fixing that you think, David?
I actually do have a little door off the hinge, so I definitely think the Gorilla Glue will help.
Okay. Listen, you're opening doors for your teammates. You got to get something completely fixed. We can't have that, honestly. We won't have that. Okay. So you're going to get that fixed. And if you're in Indianapolis, come next year, and I might need some help running my 40-yard dash. Can I count on you for that one, David? What do you think?
Yeah, I've seen clips of you running your 40. It's definitely a few things that we can clean up.
Oh, no, David.
But faster 40.
I don't think glue can fix that, though, right? Like your door.
No. I don't think it can either.
Okay, David, let's figure it out. You and I, now that we know each other, and congratulations on your performance against Iowa and this NIL deal with Gorilla Glue and the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. David Bell, family man.
Yeah.
Purdue man. Yeah, boiler up for this week's Gorilla Glue Toughest Player on Planet Earth. And this award is brought to you by Gorilla Glue, makers of high-quality adhesives and tapes. Much like the players this award recognizes, Gorilla brings toughness and strength to even the most difficult household projects and repairs. Gorilla Glue for the toughest jobs on planet Earth. Neat stuff right there. How about that?
That's awesome,
wants to play games in Purdue because he wants his grandma to see him. And he told his mom, you know, just look at the app if you want to
stats. Yeah, mom, ESPN handles all that.
That's great. No, that's got to be. Huh?
Mom doesn't know that person on that app. She's going to make sure her stats are accurate.
I'm sure she's done it, and she's just going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why David is doing as well as he's doing.
She's taking no chances.
She's been doing it since the Pop Warner flag.
Love her.
That's so awesome.
Love stories like that. Love it. Let's take a break. On the flip side, there's Ben Simmons stand holdout or hold in or whatever he's doing. Shams Charania of The Athletic at Stadium. He's on that. And what to make of the Lakers' loss? And the Nets lost last night.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Sure, I'm right here. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, making our way to Larry David in studio, hour number three here on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. And it's now time to turn our attention to what is going on in the NBA with Ben Simmons and the Sixers. But what happened last night is our next guest on the phone line now, Christopher.
Yes, sir.
And joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line right now from the Athletic and Stadium, senior NBA insider, after the Bucks and Warriors come up with the season-opening wins on season-opening night. Shams Charania here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Shams?
Rich, I'm good. I'm glad the season's up and started. A lot going on around the league, as you know. So
yes, indeed. Let's do the league a little bit of a favor and place the Simmons stuff aside for the moment, because we had actual games last night. We got actual games coming up tonight. How do you take the season-opening loss for the Lakers? Do we have a major problem brewing here in Los Angeles? What do you think?
I'm never one to make, you know, hot take assumptions, but I do think it's clear that they need to figure out how this dynamic is going to work, right? And that's why you saw Russell Westbrook, and we've done some reporting on it as well, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, had to do a lot of, you know, talking and conversing before the trade happened on draft night, where Russell Westbrook ended up with the Lakers, because they need to figure out if they could get on the same page. And at the end of the day, it's going to take a lot of sacrifice, and it's going to take a lot of these guys changing their games. And Russell Westbrook, we saw him try to slash a little bit. You know, he obviously did not shoot well from the field, but we're going to need to see him take more jumpers, make more jumpers this year, playing alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis. LeBron loves to have shooters around him. That's something that he's preached year in and year out. And so to see how this team comes together, it will take time. There's no question. But I don't know if you can really judge them before they get to that 15-20 game mark.
Well, I mean, Westbrook's uniform number almost matched the number of points he had in the first half last night, you know, and it is just odd to see him out on the floor trying to fit in. I mean, that's really what we're looking at, because the preseason, hardly any time on the floor for all the big three together. So what is the plan? Like, is it just to him shoot and it's just adding him to what LeBron normally does? Are we going to see some sort of hybrid? What are you hearing out of Lakers camp with what Frank Vogel's plan is to make this all work?
Yeah, I think the goal was to have both of those guys play off each other, you know, as best as they can while they're on the floor. But also when LeBron's off the floor, having the ability to have a dynamic playmaker be in the game at any point in time. That's what the Lakers envisioned with Dennis Schroeder last year. It's whenever LeBron James went to the bench, having a de facto point guard. You've seen LeBron James play a lot of point guards since coming to L.A. And having another guy that can play that position, be dynamic, make plays, that's what the Lakers envisioned with Schroeder. And now Westbrook has that mantle. And so seeing how he can take that in stride when LeBron is on the bench, I think that's the best-case scenario. But when they're on the floor together, they need to find a way to compete and win so that plus-minus isn't in the negatives.
Okay. And what did you make of the Warriors game last night? They looked pretty sharp, moving the ball around and making shots, even when Steph wasn't. And he still wound up with his first triple-double in 5 years, and Clay isn't even back yet. What do you think about the Warriors?
I mean, I love the way that Jordan Poole, we saw in his first couple seasons, he just did not gain much traction. And you could tell at the tail end of last year, he started to find his stride. But there were questions on whether they were going to pick up his third-year rookie option, and the Warriors ended up picking it up. And the entire preseason, he played at such a high level. I'm curious to see where he fits in long-term. Is he a sixth man down the line when Klay Thompson does come back? Do they start him alongside Klay? But it's no question that he has the potential to be a significant scorer in this league, and he's already proven that. And so seeing them go back to that ball movement, I think Iguodala coming back to the Warriors was a step in that direction. And also having a healthy Draymond Green. You saw him go through the ups and downs last year. He dealt with COVID last year during training camp. James Wiseman was out to start the year, and then he came back for opening night. So they're really not dealing with those losses in and out of the lineup. You're seeing a steady group, and now come December, January, they're going to have Klay Thompson and James Wiseman back in that lineup.
Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the Bucks and the Nets last night, what's your takeaway from game one between the world champs and the would-be potential world champs this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think Milwaukee picked up right where they left off, even though Drew Holiday got hurt. But, you know, overall, the Nets, we know, are going to be a dynamic offensive team. You saw even last night, Kevin Durant clearly, you know, continues to prove that he's one of the best players, if not definitely the best scorer in the league. And Patty Mills, the way he shot the ball. But seeing where they can get production from their front court, especially, you saw Claxton have a near double-double. But, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap, Blake Griffin, those are the guys that we need to step up. And then speaking to people around their organization last night, it was clear that they believe that those guys especially will need a few games, you know, 10, 15 games to find a rhythm into the season. This is a veteran group, just like the Lakers. They're not a team that has a bunch of young pups playing in their starting rotation. They have Cam Thomas who can come off the bench and light it up. But for the most part, this is a veteran-laden group. So I think it will take them time to find their stride and figuring out, will Kyrie Irving join this roster? But it's clear that the Bucks have picked up right where they left off.
Now, that's the question, Shams, because, you know, the Nets have turned the page, which is a phrase that you hear so much in sports. But then there's another phrase you hear in sports, is keeping tabs. We're going to keep tabs on that person. You heard that with the Seahawks this week with Cam Newton. We're going to keep tabs on him. I don't know what that means, keeping tabs. Either you're going to sign the guy or you are not, you know. So what is the status and how much should we be paying attention to that question about will Kyrie join the Nets?
Shams. Yeah, I mean, Rich, it's one of the best players on a championship favorite that is basically not playing this season and deciding to sit the season. This is unprecedented. This is something that's never happened in this league before. And obviously this is a big loss for the Nets. They've decided that he is not going to be present for games. They put their foot down, even though he is eligible to practice at home, even though he is able to play on the road. He was able to play last night. They just decided that they're not playing him. They're going to pay him half of his salary this year, which is about roughly $16, $17 million, but he's not going to get the other half. And by virtue, he's not going to get an extension as well. And so for Kyrie Irving, this is a significant financial loss for his personal individual decision that he's making to not get vaccinated. So as of right now, I'm in touch with City Hall on a daily basis. There's no plans in the anywhere near future to lift that vaccine mandate in New York City. So for now, Kyrie Irving will continue to sit until either he decides to get the vaccine or the mandate's lifted or he's traded. Those are the only scenarios that I see him playing this season because as of right now, there's not an avenue for him to return to the Nets.
Yeah, mandate's not being lifted. I mean that's definitely not happening. But you know, before the NBA Finals, I just don't see the way that this pandemic. You know, anybody who pays attention to, you know, the health news and certainly what's going on in New York City, unless Curtis Sliwa becomes the new mayor of New York City, honestly, like that would be the only way that happens with an election that's coming around and we don't see it. And that allows also Adam Silver to say, this is not a league matter. It's a city matter and it's a team matter. So the question is how does it change with Kyrie, right? I mean, do you keep tabs? Do you every now and then knock on the door of his camp, the people who said that he's giving voice to the voiceless? In your reporting, Sam?
Yeah, I haven't gotten a sense either way on whether there's any opening for him to go get the vaccine. I mean, as I reported last week, there's no plans for him to get vaccinated. So in turn, that means there's no plans for him to play any time. Now, could Kyrie Irving at any point within the next 2 weeks or whenever, you know, whenever he decides in a day or really it could be any point. He could wake up and say, I want to get the shot, and then he'll show up for practice or a game. Yeah. The Nets will welcome him back, but as of right now, there just is not a timeline. Now, the one thing that even Kyrie Irving came out and said last week is he wants to play basketball. He loves the game. There's no plans for him to retire. Well, his love for the game is definitely going to be tested here over the next several weeks as he watches the Nets play game in and game out and not be on the floor with them.
And was his Instagram story posting, was that giving voice to the voiceless? I know that sounds facetious, but I'm serious. Like, what is his plan to actually put into action what he feels that he's standing for, Shan?
You would have thought that there might have been kind of, like you said, like a plan afterward, right? Because you want to stand up for people, you know, in his mind, if he wants to stand up for people that have lost their jobs, what's the action that's also being taken place? And so there's been nothing on my end that mm-hmm. that's able to report on.
All right, Shams Charania, The Athletic and Stadium, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, your latest in The Athletic. The headline, Ben Simmons and Sixers at odds again. What's been going on at practices and what's next for both sides? I'll bite, certainly, since he will be sitting out tonight's season opener for the Sixers in New Orleans. And barring anything else, his first game where he'll be back is in Philadelphia at home against the Nets coming up this weekend on Friday night. So let's start with what's been going on at practices, Shams. What is?
Yeah, Rich, not much. I mean, you know, it's a lot of coming into the facility and leaving promptly whenever he's allowed to. I mean, he's the first one out of each practice. There's not much interaction with – there hasn't been that much interaction with teammates Sunday, Monday. And obviously it was a short stint for him yesterday when he didn't want to get into a defensive drill. But it's been a lot of, you know, really coming and going, Rich. He hasn't been showering at the facility, I'm told. He's been coming in, changing his clothes, and leaving. And you're seeing a guy that is really going through the motions. He doesn't seem like he's mentally engaged with his teammates. He's done a few drills defensively, nothing more, nothing less. And so, you know, speaking to people around that organization, people that have been at those practices the last 3 days, they say that he's a guy that does not look like he's planning on playing in the near future. And so, clearly, that is not tonight in the season opener. I don't know if that'll be Friday. From what I've been told, they're going to welcome him back at practice, tentatively scheduled for Thursday. So we'll see if he goes to practice. And if he does, how he behaves and how he handles himself. In his mind, he's not mentally there yet to join a team where he felt like Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid threw him under the bus after Game 7 and just does not believe that, you know, they mended their fences. And so now it's just about figuring out, can they reach a middle ground to where he can get back on the floor? Because the quicker he gets back on the floor, you know, from people in Philadelphia that tell me, the quicker he might be able to get moved because he's able to play and pour his heart out there. And until he does that, I just don't see any type of trade aspect going on right now. You know, as I reported last night, there just is not a deal that Philly's looking at right now. They're not trying to move Ben Simmons. So this is going to be a stalemate for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that's the point, Shams, is that somebody's got to tell him that if he wants out, he not only has to, you know, act like he's in for the ability for the Sixers to feel compelled to get him for more than cents on the dollar, right? And also to make sure that there is nobody else around the league saying, why wouldn't this happen to us if we acquire him? Like, there, but for the grace of God, basketball gods go us, right? I mean, like, is there anybody in his camp explaining that time to him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is just a scenario where the player is so dead set on not wanting to be with this franchise, and he's made it clear to them over and over he's not mentally there to play for them. But the fact remains that there's not a deal that's on the table that they would do. There's really nothing in the imminent future. And he's got 4 years and almost $150 million left on his deal. It's unprecedented for a player with that much length on his contract to try to get out. I mean, you've seen players with 1 or 2 years left, but for 4 years left, it's just, I know, you know, clearly Philadelphia has support of the league and everyone, all the other rival teams, because they don't want to be made an example of. They want to be the ones that are making the example out of the player. And so you're seeing kind of two different sides, two different agendas here at play. Obviously, Ben Simmons wants a move, and Philadelphia wants him back on the floor because as of right now, he's their best option to go win games. But I think teams around the league understand that Ben Simmons has always been professional. One thing about him is, you know, unless he's hurt, he's going to be on the floor. He's going to be playing. He's going to be trying to play at a high level. And so he just – right now, this is not a situation that he wants to play at a high level for.
So then, can they keep on suspending him? Because as you point out in your article, he's lost upwards of $1 million in fine money for missing preseason games, practices, and team activities so far. Our colleague at the worldwide leader, Woj, saying he hasn't made a dime since he's returned. That they're so can the Sixers keep doing that? Are they allowed under the CBA to keep doing what they did just for game one?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I definitely, you know, as long as they feel like he continues to have conduct detrimental to the team, they can continue, whether it's fine him or suspend him. And I think that next test case will come on Thursday when he returns to practice. You know, if they end up going through with the practice on Thursday after the game tonight, that how does he show, what's his disposition? And they're hoping that he turns the page and that he shows, you know, some energy, some signs of wanting to be there so that they can move forward.
All right, last one for you, Shams. I if you don't mind, I gave this assignment also to Sam Amick, your colleague at The Athletic, so I'll create some in-house competition. Can you find out where Simmons got those sweatpants? Can you whose sweatpants are those that he wore the other day in practice with the cell phone sticking out? Can you find that out for me, Shams? Would you please?
Yeah, I have no idea, but I hate to break it. That wasn't a cell phone in his pants. That was actually another jersey that he had. Probably the jersey that they wanted these players to wear during practice, and he left it in his pants and not putting it on.
Okay, so that was not a cell phone in his pocket.
That was not a cell phone. That was a jersey.
Oh. Okay, see, you know, I guess this is a lesson for us to learn, that we take a photograph and we make much of it. And so that was not a cell phone. It was another jersey in his, my gosh, I mean, that's a lot. That's those sweatpants can hold a lot. So that then I definitely want those sweatpants for me. If they can hold a jersey, I want, you know, that's impressive. Okay, there you go. Man, oh, man.
Jersey and sweatpants reporting. That's exactly what I'm here for.
But I'll tell you what, though, wow. Shams, that's actually important, because the number of people that thought that was a cell phone, and he's just like saying, I'm not even. I'll show you how I don't care about practicing. I'll text during a drill. You know what I mean? So
he's been on his phone a lot at the facility, but not in that instance. Not in that specific drill.
All right, Shams. Thanks very much. Really appreciate the time. Always appreciate your reporting and your time right here. And let's chat throughout the season. I really appreciate it.
Always, Rich. Appreciate you, man.
You got it. That's Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium. And Shams Charania, that's his Twitter handle. And at Shams NBA on Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show. A lesson for us all you journalism students out there. That sure looked like a white.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
iPhone with the screen, and instead, it's not an iPhone. It was a jersey tucked in, stuffed in his pocket, which, by the way, might also have been an act of aggression to the coaching staff.
Not wearing this practice.
You didn't want to wear the practice.
Or let's not assume it.
Also,
we're just assuming it's all bad.
Sham calls City Hall every day.
Call City Hall every day. You know what's
on
not?
The beat.
By the way, that has to be the longest aggregate amount of time any human being has been placed on hold. Is ever calling New York City City Hall to see, are you going to lift the mandate?
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Then you hear like Bill de Blasio's iPod music that he plays as he's. Riding his bicycle around town.
They give you some Billy Joel.
Thank you for calling the Five Boroughs City Hall.
Yeah.
New York State of Mind.
You may go F yourself while you wait. Trust me, I remember calling New York City organizations and city halls and borough halls when I was on the Staten Island Advance staff. You're not getting many answers.
Do you think the actual operator is like, oh, it's 10:02. Hi, this is Shams Charania from The Athletic. Yes, I know.
No, we haven't changed it.
Thank you. Call again tomorrow.
Yes. Unless the guardian angel becomes male, or it ain't happening. By the way, you know that's up for possibility, right?
Curtis?
Now. Yeah. Yeah, he's the Republican that's going up for mayor in New York City right now.
He's been around for
He has since we've been kids.
People are not.
I met him once. Blasio, New York.
Oh, God. Well, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Are you ready to say who's winning the championship and the NBA MVP?
So.
All right. Yeah. We're going to give our season predictions coming up. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets. at the Rich Eisen show, and every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it, and then the all-in prices. That's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Larry David making his way to the studio back here in the Rich Eisen Show. Larry David's on the 405, which is the Los Angeles version of the Van Wyck. So let's hopefully he's beating the 405 right now.
You just got to hope.
The Van Wyck.
Van Wyck is undefeated, as we know from Seinfeld. Nobody beats the Van Wyck.
Well, didn't Elaine almost beat it to go to the airport?
Right. Okay, if we could, there's no NFL Films music for NBA. Like, we could do Round Ball Rock, but John Test would sue the pants off.
Yeah, and Fox.
Fox has it now, right?
Okay. They bought that too.
All right, so.
I'm trying to think of what I could do.
Is it like a generic version?
Don't worry about it. In honor of the NBA campaign tipping off, we have decided to predict the MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and NBA Finals competitors and the winner, champion of the NBA season. TJ Jefferson, you're going first. Chris, you'll go second. I'll go last.
Fantastic.
All right, here we go. Okay. There's some music. Yeah. Very good. What do you got over there, TJ?
Well, you know, guys, I'm just going to kick it off with my most valuable player. Look, I'm a homer, and I'm not shamed about this fact that I'm going to pick my guy. I'm going to pick Joel Embiid for the most valuable player, providing he plays in enough games this year, which kind of excluded him from winning the award last year. But I feel like Joel's going to have something to prove this year with the whole Ben Simmons thing. And if his head's on straight, and if he watched what Giannis was able to accomplish last year, which I'm hoping he did, and he took it to heart and was like, I can be him, I think we're looking at the MVP of the league.
Okay.
Rookie of the year, I'm going with Jalen Green out of Houston. This is a tough one. Who really knows? I don't, you know, we haven't even seen these guys play a real game yet, but he's my pick. Billy Donovan, Coach of the Year, right? I got a sneaky feeling about the Bulls, and I don't even know if it's sneaky. Brockman, you're the guy who knows about the odds and things. I feel like the Bulls are going to be special this year and really fun to watch. So I'm going to go with Billy Donovan. And my NBA Finals, I'm going to go with the Bucks taking out the Lakers in the NBA Finals.
By the way, we have fashioned a photograph of Giannis holding two Larry O'Brien trophies right there. Well, I like it.
That's his MVP trophy.
Oh, is that right? My bad. I couldn't see.
So
I
should those put are my predictions.
On. All right, very good. What do you got over there, Chris Brockman?
You know, I really like your picks, TJ. I like that you went with the Bucks. I'm kind of regretting my pick after one game, but that's okay. So I'm also a homer. Mm-hmm. I think this is the year Jason Tatum really takes his game to the next stratosphere.
Okay.
Have you seen pictures of this dude on Instagram lately?
He's a little yoked right now.
He looks absolutely swollen. He is ridiculous.
He's getting that phone call from the league health department.
He's getting the Myles Garrett drug testing phone call each game.
Yeah, he's jacked.
But Kemba's gone, and so now he's the guy. He has to be the guy.
I love Jason.
He was the guy when Kemba was there.
It was kind of weird, though. But if he can take it to 30 points per game scoring, which I think he's going to, he's going to get to the line more. I think he's going to be in the conversation.
Love that
guy. I also like Jalen Green, also kind of for the sole reason that Houston's going to be a bad team, and he's going to put up some big numbers. And he has that year playing with the Ignite G League team where I think that's going to really kind of help his development. If Jason Tatum's winning MVP, that means Ime Udoka is winning Coach of the Year because the Celtics probably win 50-plus games, and that's kind of out of nowhere. And in the NBA Finals, I agree with you, Rich. I think Kyrie's going to get the shot at some point.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to come back. And as long as not one of those guys get injured, I think the Nets have the most talent, and they're going to beat the Suns.
The Suns.
To make it back to the finals okay. And out of the West.
All right. So you take the Suns out of the West again.
Suns out of the West.
Back-to-back Western Conference champions in Phoenix. Okay. Here I go.
Okay.
I'm taking Luka for MVP.
Ooh. Love it. This is the finally the year.
This is it. I think he's just going to be phenomenal. He's going to be must-see TV every single time, in and out. I'll take another Jalen for Rookie of the Year. I'll take Gonzaga's Suggs.
Okay.
Just because I just want to be fair and balanced with Jalen's out of Orlando. Steve Nash is going to be Coach of the Year because they're going to have to figure out how to do it without Kyrie. And then I'm going to take the Warriors to win it all.
Did you change this after last night?
I'm going to take the Warriors to win it all.
I love it.
Because I think Steph is at the top of his game. I really think they're a deep team. I think Klay comes back to provide the shooting. And the reason why Steve Nash is going to be Coach of the Year is he's going to try and keep this thing together. And the reason why I think the Nets do make it is because at some point during this regular season, we're going to see Kyrie Irving come back. Now, everybody who knows Kyrie, which we do not, might say that'll never happen, not on this planet Earth. And I think that there's no predicting what he's going to do, but I'll even give you one on top of it. He will come out and he will say that he's done all his research and he's figured out that what's most important is, I don't know, it'll be some description that will defy comprehension, either in a public relations blitz through his Instagram account, that he will then say, I put it all on my Instagram and I'm not talking about it anymore. Or he will show up at some sort of a press conference and say something completely unintelligible, but it will still pass off as he's made a principled and yet intelligent stand on something. That's the way it's going to come. We will never understand why he did it or what's happening, but I think he's going to just realize that he does love the game, and the game misses him, and the Nets miss him, and they're going to need him, and Nash is going to hold it together, win Coach of the Year, and the Nets will win the conference. But I still think the Warriors will take it, because don't forget,
that's
still Steph, and that's still Draymond, and when Klay comes back and he starts getting his shooting and the kids get together and Wiseman with Poole and Wiggins with his own vaccine scenario and situation, I think they win it. That's still the Warriors. That's still Steph. We keep forgetting who dominated before LeBron showed up in the Western Conference to take our eye off that ball.
I actually had sixth man written down, and I believe when Klay comes back in about 2 months, he's going to go back to the starting lineup, and I had Jordan Poole, your guy from Michigan, as my
sixth man.
Yeah, I think that he's eventually going to have to come off the bench. That kid has been balling.
He's a good shooter, brother.
Yeah.
He can really shoot. And, you know, Michigan, with their passing game, I think fits in well with the way that the Warriors play basketball.
The Michigan passing game?
Warriors 9-1.
I mean, like with Beeline and all that stuff, what they used to do, they used to share the ball quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought we were going to make a football.
No. I'm just saying that I don't know. I'm a Jordan Poole fan, obviously.
Yeah, I like the kid.
The interesting thing is, deep down, none of us are right. We have no idea. I mean, at least in football, you can make some sort of an educated guess. Who chose the Suns and the Bucks last year? Anybody? Anybody on planet Earth prior to the season say it's going to be the Bucks and
maybe
the Suns?
Maybe the Bucks, not the Suns.
Zero.
No chance.
No Clippers, huh?
Well, Kawhi's not going to play. So, and if he does come back, it'll be at the very end of the season.
Very end. What a bummer.
Yeah.
Okay. Hour number three, Larry David in studio right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you go anywhere. Don't you dare move. It's coming up next right here on Peacock and this radio station.